You can be seated. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 95, and we're going to look at some different scriptures today. Psalm 95, and we're going to look at 1-7 to begin with. And the title of this message is "Born to Worship." Born to Worship. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to gather to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would just bless each person here with something to encourage them this morning, to build them up. Lord, just food, just manner. For some this day, for others maybe this week. Lord, thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 95, verses 1-7, and but before we start, let's talk about what's really important. What do you think of Baltimore, huh? And Tennessee just ran over them, huh? Old school football. I do feel better. At least it's an expatriate, Dave, right? It's an expatriate, and less than 100 yards passing in both of their playoff wins. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Huh? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And some of the women are like, I have no idea what he's talking about. See, this is why God had to put me in prison, because I had to. Because out here in the real world, I do crazy stuff sometimes. All right. Psalm 95, verses 1-7. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. So we see singing is part of worship, singing to God. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. All right, thanksgiving is part of worship, thanking God. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, praising him for who he is and what he does. And that's why God's names and character are very important, because we're ultimately praising God for just who he is, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. All right, so one of the names for God is king, so I praise you for being king. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. So he's our creator. So we praise God for being our creator. All right? The creator of all things. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today, the flock underneath his care. Amen. The Bible refers to him as a great shepherd. We praise you, God, for being the good shepherd. See, these are all names of God, and we can praise him even without him doing anything for us. We can still praise him, huh? Now that's exciting. All right. So last week, I'll just review a couple of things. Last week, I mentioned that Adele Alberg Calhoun, she is actually local. Her and her husband actually pastor a church. I thought it's not Peabody. It is, I can't think of it, but she wrote a book, The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, and she says worship. She defines it in two ways. She says desire, to honor and adore the Trinity as the supreme treasure of life. So we're honoring and adoring the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as the supreme treasure of life. And as I've said before, God's our only guarantee each day. He's our only guarantee. Stuff outside of us, it gets crazy. It gets crazy. It does. And we never know what's going to happen. but he's our guarantee. He's the supreme treasure of life. And if you make him the supreme treasure, then all the other stuff falls in line underneath it. It does. And then when those other things that are underneath it aren't going well, we're still good because we're worshiping the supreme treasure of life. Amen. He's also the one who gives us life. Definition, she said, worship happens whenever we intentionally cherish God and value him above all else in life. Worship reveals what is important to us. Okay? Interesting. So last week we talked about one of the things that'll get in between us and God is whatever we have our identity in, And Paul was a great example of that. Paul had two different identities, really, at the time of his salvation. And this can be a negative and positive identity. Paul was a murderer of Christians, okay? And that can give you low self-esteem. And low self-esteem is a sin, by the way. But Paul was also a very educated Pharisee, and he could be very puffed up because of that. And that can give you high self-esteem. And that's sin, too. See, our esteem is to be in Christ. Our identity is to be in Christ. Because what Satan will do is he'll try to get you off track because of low self-esteem, and he'll beat you over the head with what you've done in the past. He'll heap condemnation on you. But he'll also get you off track by your present success and your education and accomplishments and all that stuff, too. And that leads to pride, and that gets you off track, too. You see how important this is. And then sometimes you can go from low self-esteem, having a terrible life, to having success in life. So you can go from struggling with low self-esteem, again, which is sin, and then go to high self-esteem, which is sin. I've seen that, too. One of the most difficult things at the prison is to get those guys not to really condemn themselves because they feel they beat themselves up. They're under condemnation by people on the outside, by people who work there. And then Satan is beating them down. But also, in terms of our identity, sometimes we develop these things called protective personalities. And they protect us from being hurt in relationship. So one of the most common ones in prison is being a tough guy. Yeah. And really, tough guys, you know what's underneath? They're scared to death. I talked to so many guys over the years who were pressured because of peer pressure and gang activity to murder somebody, and they were terrified to do it. They were absolutely terrified, and they didn't want to do it. And they were terrified to do it. So these things are real serious because they interfere with our worship of God. So our identity is in Christ when we get saved. We're his child. We're his workmanship. We're his heir. We're a new creation. We're written on the palms. Our names are written on the palms of his hand. Think about that, how wonderful that is. But again, it's going to interfere. If it's interfering with this relationship, it's definitely going to interfere with this relationship. And this is why these things have to be resolved. Because when I was a chaplain, my first 5 years, I was at Old Colony Correctional Center in Bridgewater. It was they had levels at that time. It was level 5. Level 6 was the highest. So we had a lot of aggressive guys. And I spent probably my first 5 years breaking up fights. Not physical altercations, but verbal, emotional immaturity, things like that. And I was saying, what am I doing? This is crazy. And the Holy Spirit says, well, why don't you disciple them? But the discipleship had to do, there needed to be healing There needed to be emotional maturity. They needed to understand their new identity in Christ. We had to take away all that protective fake stuff. A lot of us aren't really, we don't present who we really are. And one of the most wonderful things is when God, and that's why God has to break us down, and that's what God does there. And one of the most wonderful things, you know, I mentioned last week this particular young man who was a gang leader who killed somebody, but he was actually an intellectual, and he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And in the Department of Correction, they just ended this program, but they have a certificate program, but they had outside donors who would pay for a college degree for different, and he, this particular guy got a college degree. He wants to be a college professor. Is that crazy? Think about it. I think he should be a pastor, though. But it's up to him. But yeah, he'd be amazing. Even Dan Stebbing said to me one day, if he became a pastor, I would go to his church. That's how the profound effect he had on him. So identity is very important, that we have our identity in Christ, that we're his child, we're his servant, we're here for him, okay? Primarily, he blesses us, but primarily we're here for him to do his will the way he wants us to. Now, in Psalm 95, verse 6, where it uses worship, in the Hebrew, it means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, just laid out flat, face down on the floor, to crouch, to fall down, to humble, to do reverence, bowing down to pay homage to God, worshiping God because he deserves it. He deserves it. Homage is an expression of high regard and respect. High regard and respect for God. Prostrate, stretched out with face on the ground in adoration or submission, to reduce to a weak or powerless position. And one of the great things about getting to know God is understanding that he is God and we are not, you know. But a lot of times that was presented to me in a negative way, but it's really a positive thing. God is like big. God is like awesome. God is, and we, deep down, we really can't do anything in and of our own strength, in our own flesh. So as you study and get to know God, you realize how awesome he is. You can trust him more, and you can love him more. In the New Testament, in Revelation 7, 9 to 12, let me just turn there if you want. If you got your Bibles, you want to take a look. Revelation 7, 9 to 12. Okay. It says, after this I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. They were shouting with great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and is from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang. Again, there's that word singing again as part of worship. Even individual singing too, not just in church. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now that worship there in the New Testament, it says to kiss, to adore, to worship, show respect, again, fall or prostrate before, to kiss toward somebody. Is that awesome? To kiss toward God. spoken of those who pay reverence and homage to deity, render divine honors, worship, adore, with the basic idea of prostration, words expressing prostration. All right. And in Abraham, last week I shared, and you don't have to turn there, Genesis 17, 3 and 4 says, "And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." I'll read something from A.W. Tozer, calls it face down listening. So God's calling him to his ministry as a father of many nations, and he's face down on the ground. Huh? Is that our heart for worship? Is that our heart? I just have this reading, something A.W. Tozer wrote about that. He says, "The scriptures declare Abram fell on his face as the Lord talked with him." Genesis 17:3. Abraham was reverent and submissive. Probably there was no better picture anywhere in our Bible of the right place for mankind and the right place for God. God was on his throne speaking, and Abraham was on his face listening. Where God and man are in relationship, this must be the ideal. God must be the communicator, and man must be in listening, obeying attitude. If men and women are not willing to assume this listening attitude, there will be no meeting with God in living personal experience. Yes, Abraham was lying face down in humility and reverence, overcome with awe in this encounter with God. He knew he was surrounded by the world's great mystery. The presence of this one who fills all things was pressing in upon him, rising above him, defeating him, taking away his natural self-confidence. God was overwhelming him and yet inviting and calling him, pleading with him and promising him a great future as a friend of God. I know, it's hard. It's like a paradox. And again, it's God. You know, I've shared this before when the Holy Spirit told me about 2-3 years ago, he says, "You don't see things the way I see things. You're not seeing things the right way." And he began to show me that it's so much of my life is just, it's like, it's Bible, but there's this little stuff that's really not of God in between, you know? Things that I think are of God, but they're not. One of those things was identity. One of those things is Christ living through us. One of the things is what he just said, understanding that God is just big. I'm his servant. I do what he wants. I do what he wants. I do what he wants. But worshiping is ultimately loving God. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 25. Deuteronomy 6. 1 to 25, a lot of good stuff in Deuteronomy, and 6, 1 to 25, and yeah, worship is, God wants wholehearted commitment, and I know, and that can be hard, that can be hard. It says, these are, beginning of verse 1, it says of Deuteronomy 6, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone." There's only one God. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you to this day. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jump up to verse 14. You must not worship any of the neighboring gods, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God, is a jealous God. So it's ultimately loving God. But it's also a way where we really enter into God's presence. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And we're going to look at 11 to 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 11 to 14. It says, then the priests left the holy place. All the priests were present, had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, let's see, 13. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words. He is good, his faithful love endures forever. So that's things we can, I praise you, God, for your goodness. I praise you for your faithful love, which endures forever. Although the older versions will use mercy. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. But look at what happened. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. And then go ahead to 2 Chronicles 7. See, their worship brought the presence of God into their life. That's what we need. We need the presence of God. That's why every morning we need to be worshiping. And you don't have to worship out loud. Some, you know, a lot of times I'll worship as I'm driving. If you're riding the train, just take that time to really worship God for who he is. We need God's presence. We can't handle this out here ourselves. We can't live supernaturally. Otherwise, we end up just responding in the flesh to everything that happens. And God doesn't want that. Here we see the Shekinah glory of God in verses 1 to 3, the dedication of the temple. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Amen. I praise you, God, for your goodness. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you for your salvation. Man. Praise you for the fruit of the Spirit. And the result, and let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 is, it's really a supernatural love. A supernatural love. See, the love can only come from God. We can't love people ourselves. And these are hard things. We think that we can do things in and of ourselves. We can't. It's impossible. And that's a hard thing to accept because, oh, I can, I'm a good person. What do most people say when you witness to them? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Oh, I think so. Well, why would God let you into heaven? Well, I've been a good person, you know. Most people would say that. No. This is supernatural. It's from God. Verses 14 to 21. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I praise you, God, for being the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I praise you for being my creator. I praise you for creating the animals. I even praise God for being a creative creator. He's very creative. Look, there's not one person that looks identical here, right? Well, I guess if we had twins, it might be. But look, very unique. Look at you all. Look at very different, very different. All shapes and sizes and awesome. Isn't that awesome? Look at the animals. God's amazing. Just look at the nature and the trees, huh? I praise you for being the creative creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, his resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. So we got inner strength, supernatural strength. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen. Now all the glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. So he gets all the glory. He makes us complete to really be able to do what he wants us to do. Amen. Again. But we have to realize that he has to do it. He has to do it through us. He has to do it through us. But we have to realize by faith that he wants to get us to the point where he gets us at that point where we realize we really come to the end of ourselves. And again, I mentioned this last week. One of the good things about being in prison is a lot of times the circumstances bring them to the end of themselves. The end of themselves. There was one young man who came in. I think his crime occurred when he was 20, maybe 21. Unbelievable drug dealer. He was involved in a gang. I mean, he made money hand over fist. He started making money when he was 15. This guy was amazing, amazingly smart, an amazing leader. But once you get into that life, you have to keep your position. You have to get more and more and more violent and crazy. And he finally broke into a drug dealer's house, and he killed the person in the commission of that. And there he is in prison. And he comes in. He's in county prison, and he gets in a fight. Real tough guy, tough kid. And he ends up locked up. And while he's in lockup, he's thinking, you know what? He says, I tried my life my way, and it failed completely. It failed. See, failure is not a bad thing. Failure is a good thing. We all fail. You know, you just fail, and you keep going forward. You learn from it. And he opened up his heart, and he said he just asked God, and he got saved. And he started studying the Bible. And you know one of the most wonderful things? This is another wonderful thing about this guy. He had no denominational bias. He didn't really go to church. His family was Catholic. So he just studied this. And he focused on this and what the Holy Spirit was teaching him and the truth. This guy's another brilliant guy. We had so many brilliant guys there. He used to sit in a Bible study, and he would share stuff. And I would just go, oh, my goodness. Where did he get that? He got it from the Holy Spirit. But he had to come to the end of himself. You see? And for us to come to the end of ourselves, usually hard things have to happen. Hard things have to happen. But it's good. It's good. But a lot of times when the hard things happen, we get mad at God and we shake our fist at him and then we run away. We run away. And nah. Persevere through it, because God's got something special planned for you. God has something special planned for you. Worship is the way we enter into the presence of God. I mentioned that. Worship is also a means by which we welcome him into the midst of our world. So he enters. Basically, the Holy Spirit kind of fills you up with peace and joy, and your focus is on God. But also, at the same time, we're aware that we need him in the midst of our world also, so that we can respond appropriately to often what we have no control over outside of us. The clock's not worth it. Does anyone have the time? 52, okay. So how can we worship God? We worship God's names. So what I did, I did a study myself. Do a study yourself. Don't use a study Bible. Just use something like this. No notes. Write down the different names of God, the verses. And I praise you for being the hope of his people. I praise you for being my strength and my song. I praise you, God, my rock. You are the God of my praise. You are the God of my strength. I praise you for that. You are the God of my life, which actually means the God who gives me life. I praise you for being the God of the whole earth. I praise you for being my maker. I praise you for being the God of my salvation. And then Psalm 3:3, the Hebrew word is Rumrosh, R-U-M-R-O-S-H, the one who lifts my head. The reason I can get up in the morning and lift my head and not be downcast and depressed is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because if we're looking out this way, you can't help but be depressed. I mean, it's insane what's happening. It's insane. So we can also thanksgiving. Thank God. And I just thank God for everything I can. There's just so much information. What I did was I looked up verses on thanksgiving, Old Testament through. I've got a whole list of those. I did my own study on that. That was amazing. And then we sing to God. We sing to God. And there's a lot of songs in Scripture. There's the Song of Miriam in Exodus 15. There's the Song of Deborah in Judges 5, 1 to 31. I mean, there's psalms and songs of praise throughout the Old Testament. It's amazing. And it's awesome. You know, one of the things I do in the prison, I used to do in the prison, because the guys, you know, some of them, they just, you know, they act so tough. You know, I think they're like tough guys. Well, they actually are tough guys, but not in the right way. So I'll break them down and I'll start singing kids' songs in the Bible study. And you should see them. They're like, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key to obedience, is joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. And they'll just, the young guys were the worst. The young guys, Chaplain Don, don't ever do that again, Chaplain Don. Don't ever do that again. That was, but I would try to loosen them up. I would try to loosen them up. And so, but I'll sing kids' song. I sing scripture verses. I don't know if you ever, I've been shared different scripture, just scripture verses where people have made songs out of them and things like that. Obviously, some of the hymns, the choruses and things like that. Just to sing. My wife uses a hymn book at home, and she'll just sing to God, and just sing. And again, in my case, and my wife's, it's, I don't know. My daughter has a beautiful voice. I don't know where she got it, because we're pretty bad. We're pretty bad. So you make a joyful noise, as they say. You make a joyful noise, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And let me just finish with this. This is a reading, I don't know if I read the whole thing, from Francois Fenelon. Francois, he was a, he's French, and he's actually a Catholic. He's actually Catholic. What do you think of that? He's Catholic. Yeah, I know. There's some Catholics who says some powerful stuff. So let me read. Let me just read what this says. He says, "The last shall be first," and I'll finish with this. "I have often observed that a rough, ignorant sinner who is just beginning to be touched by a lively sense of love of God is much more disposed to listen to the inward language of the Spirit of grace than those enlightened and learned persons who have grown old in their own wisdom. God's sole desire is to impart himself." He wants to impart himself to us. And that's through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit literally takes over. He cannot, so to speak, find where to set his foot in souls so full of themselves who have grown fat upon their own wisdom and virtues. But as the scripture says, his secret is with the simple. But where are they? I do not know who they are. But God sees them and loves to dwell with them. Interesting. I think some of the greatest things are happening right now down the hall with the kids. No crowds, no titles, just unbelievably sacrificial moms and women just out there ministering to those kids. And that's why God, see, the Holy Spirit says, "See, I can work there. I can't work with his pride and arrogance. I'm looking for the simple." How astounding, a soul delivered from self and abandoned to grace, counting itself as nothing, walking without its own thought, moving at the will of the pure love that is its perfect guide. That soul has an experience that the wise can neither receive nor understand. Then it is that we know everything without knowing anything. Not that we have the presumption to suppose that within ourselves we possess all truth. No. On the contrary, we feel that we see nothing, can do nothing, and are nothing in ourselves. We feel this and are delighted at it. But in this state, we find everything we need from moment to moment, moment to moment, in the infinity of God. There we find the daily bread of knowledge and of everything else without storing it up. Then the anointing from above teaches us all truth, while it takes away our own wisdom, glory, self-interest, even our own willfulness. It makes us content. It makes us content in our weaknesses and with a position below every creature. We're ready to yield to the lowest and confess our most secret wretchedness before the whole world, fearing unfaithfulness more than the punishment and shamefacedness. Here it is that the Spirit teaches us all truth, for all truth is inherently contained in this sacrifice of love, where the soul strips itself of everything in order to present itself to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. But help us to just praise you and thank you and sing to you just for who you are, Lord, because you deserve all praise, all honor, all glory, all worship, Lord. Lord, help us to become better worshipers, Lord. Help us, just Holy Spirit, help us just take us down that path to death to ourselves, Lord, so that we can ultimately find you and truly live a life that's honoring, that glorifies you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take the offering now, I believe. We're going to take the offering.